And good morning. It's a beautiful day out there, and you are listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show on this Tuesday, March 22nd. And I'm Susie Prez, one of your co-hosts. And across from me is Chris Bessler. Welcome back, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing? Are you nice and relaxed?
I've been away, as you know, for a few weeks on a vacation, and I'm already, it's like in the rearview mirror. It's hard to remember.
Wow.
Sad to say.
You're back at it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome back. It's nice to have you. And we have a special guest today with a subject that every day you can see in the newspaper and everyone's kind of talking about it. This is Cameron Rasmussen. Good morning, Cameron.
Good morning.
And you're here to talk about the Bonner County Planning Commission, all the things that are going on. You've been following it. There's been articles in the Sandpoint Reader. You're the editor of the Sandpoint Reader. And there's so many articles and things to read. I tried to catch up, but we brought you in so that you could tell us all about it.
Well, I'm happy to do that. Hopefully we can help clear it up, because it is a story that's been developing for many months now. So I can understand the ease of getting lost somewhere along the way. Yeah.
And which, yeah, it's a prelude. We're going to be talking Thursday with Bonner County Commissioner Todd Sudik. He's obviously going to have firsthand knowledge of all the changes that are taking place with the county planning department. So what we're hoping to do today is to lay out the sequence of events and some of the things that have been happening at the county as concerns with the planning department.
Yeah, and in our goal to keep our citizens informed, there's a lot of information, and here's another opportunity to hear what's going on from people that have been researching it quite a bit. Before we get to that, however, let's hear from the National Weather Service and our weather. It's about 38 degrees outside. Today we can expect a 90 to 50% chance of rain and then showers. I don't know what the difference is, but that's what they're telling us. Rain before 11, then a chance of showers after 11 a.m., highs near 48, calm winds, and about 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. So, and tonight we have a 40% chance of showers with a low of 35. Tomorrow through Thursday, Friday, pretty much the same thing, 40 to 90% chance of showers.
Yeah, sounds like rain.
Sounds like rain.
It was an awfully nice weekend, though. We had bright, sunny.
Beautiful.
And warm. Also going on outside, sunrise this morning was at 6:43 a.m. Sunset will be at 7:02 p.m. tonight. In the past week, we've gained 25 minutes of sunlight per day. It's amazing how quickly the seasons are changing right now. And actually, Saturday was the official first day of spring. The spring vernal equinox, as they call it, arrived at 9:30 p.m. That's the time of year when day and night are basically equal in length, and it's caused by the Earth having no tilt in its orientation to the sun at this time of year as we revolve around the sun. So spring's here. Spring has sprung.
Yay, and we're moving towards the solstice, which is when we have the most sun ever.
That's right. That comes in June.
Okay.
Schweitzer, there is no new snow the last 72 hours, but they still have a good snowpack up there. Their base at the top is 111 inches. Mid-mountains, they have 84 inches. And what we're going to see is rain down here. There's a good chance it's going to be falling as snow flurries up on the mountain. So there's a chance we'll actually have some nice spring skiing occurring still up on Schweitzer. Lake level is at 2054.72 feet. And actually, it's 2053.72 feet. It's dropped a foot in the last week and is projected to drop another foot or more in the next week. I think what the Corps of Engineers is doing with the dam operations at Omni Falls is making room for the spring runoff that they're anticipating. So they're dropping the lake level a bit right now. And what else is going on around town, Susie? I've been out, so you must know everything that's happening around here.
Well, there's something going on at the fairgrounds this evening. It's the Democratic Party Caucus. That's today. It's an opportunity for those that want to have a voice in the delegates that represent Idaho on the Democratic side.
For the presidential primary.
The presidential, that the doors open at 5 p.m., but they close at 6 So that's an important little bit of information.
The doors actually do open a little bit before then.
Okay.
Typically, people start arriving at 4, but they encourage you to get there at least an hour beforehand. And as I understand caucuses, this will actually be my first caucus that I attend. So I'll be writing something up about that. But it's going to be very, very interesting.
Lively.
Lively, and should be a lot of people talking back and forth, you know, whether they like Hillary or Bernie or what's going on.
Yes, so. And we should clarify, it is just for the Democrats. The Republican primary has already been held for the presidential election. However, anybody that didn't vote in the Republican primary is eligible to vote in the Democratic primary, whether you're registered as a Democrat or not. So
right.
If you fail to get your vote out and you want to take part, the caucus is actually a pretty interesting phenomenon. The folks gather in the room, they can lobby for the candidates, they can argue back and forth, and they basically select themselves out. So by the end of the night, we have those that are going to go for Bernie and those that will go for Hillary. And that, again, is happening at the fairgrounds. Doors open a little before 5 p.m., but they do close at 6 p.m. If you're not in the room by 6 p.m., you can't participate.
Yeah, we'll see if those big Bernie Sanders rallies have any headway as far as influencing this upcoming caucus.
Yeah, so. And he was in Spokane on Sunday, and according to the Spokesman Review, they gathered about 10,000 people at his at his rally.
Pretty
there.
Impressive.
Yeah. So, and he does tend to do better in caucuses.
That's what I've heard.
His supporters are very energized.
But it is an opportunity for our citizens to participate directly. And there's a great write-up in the Bee about the whole process. It was very interesting to read how they go back and forth with their discussions and their pitches, so to speak, to influence a decision. And there's also information on Sandpoint Online. Is that kind of up and running for the
Sandpoint Online Election Central, as it's called, is running. There's information there, details about all the primary races. Now, we are getting, on May 17th, we come to the primary for the state and county elected officials. The filing date to be on the primary ballot closed just a little over a week ago. So that is now firmed up. We might circle back towards the end of this discussion and talk about who's going to be on the ballot for the May 17th election. We do have contested races for all the District 1 legislative seats, at least in some of the parties. There's our contested races as well for Bonner County Commissioner, Republican primary. In both District 2 and District 3, and there will be a contested race for Bonner County Sheriff. So hopefully we'll have time at the end of this broadcast to swing back and talk about that. Although, Susie, we should mention, as has been the tradition here on the morning show, we're going to be talking with primary candidates as the season goes along, and we hope to be covering basically all the contested primary elections here on the morning show.
We will certainly invite them in, and it's always an opportunity, again, for our listeners to find out more.
Yep. And with that, we are in the studio this morning with Cameron Rasmussen. He's the editor of the Sandpoint Reader. And the topic we are going to be addressing today is the what's going on with the county planning department and some of the decisions that the county commissioners have been making. It goes back, as you mentioned earlier, Cameron, several months, actually, that a big rift in it has developed in how the county planning activities are going to be carried out. And the commissioners have made some pretty large changes there.
Yes.
Can you walk us through what's going on?
Well, yeah, you know, depending on who you talk to, the timeline really starts either a few months back or many years ago, because the commissioners have been making the case at meetings and in interviews that this really started many years ago when they received essentially a mandate from the voters that they wanted to see a more streamlined or efficient planning decision process. Now, that claim has been questioned by opponents of the decisions that have been coming down lately, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. where the story really picks up in terms of the very momentous changes that have been happening in the department is last autumn when we started to see some terminations of some longtime employees there. Dan Carlson, who was an assistant planner, and Claire Marley, who was the planning director in the Bonner County Planning Department. And you can take a look at some of the court filings that have since come down from Dan Carlson, for instance. And, he's talking in those filings about how the commissioners wanted him to kind of fast track a specific planning decision that had to do with a cell tower. And he was saying that to do that would be in violation of Bonner County Code. And so that was kind of the, that was his claim in his, litigation as the kind of inciting incident in what became a much more, what essentially led to his termination. Now, we'll see how that bears out in court, but that's the allegation that's out there. What really kind of propelled the issue forward was the decisions that we've been seeing lately when it comes to the appeals process. When the planning department would make basically the Planning and Zoning Commission, to be specific, which is the appointed a group of officials that are essentially in charge of those types of decisions and offering recommendations to the commissioners. What essentially happened was they changed the appeals process to eliminate a two-step procedure where there would be, there would essentially be a review to see if the Planning Commission had made a mistake in their judgment, if they were incorrect in applying Bonner County Code or something along those lines. In addition, there were many factors that you had to meet in order to qualify for an appeal. There were five qualifications that your claim was sort of run through to make sure it stood up to the proper evaluation. There was also a fee that you had to pay and other kind of things that sort of filtered out some of the bad cases, or at least that is what it was meant to do. And what the changes that have occurred now have enacted, they have essentially eliminated that process. All appeals now go directly to the commissioners. And
the county commissioners versus the planning commissioners, yes.
And that's a point of clarity that's sometimes difficult to make because it does get a little bit muddled with commissioners on one end and on the other.
When someone submits a request to change planning, zoning, or to put forth a plan for a development, something like that, it still does go to the planning commission.
Right.
There's just not a second step from their decision to a review and possible appeal.
Yes, and that's something that really concerned the Planning Commission in the meetings that they had deliberating this. And I think that we'll go into more detail on that later on, because that's also another big part of what got people really concerned about this was the process by which the commissioners, the Bonner County commissioners, enacted this this change. So we'll get into that later. But to be clear, yes, everything still goes first to the Planning Commission, as far as I understand. But their concern was, and I believe one of the commissioners, the Planning Commissioners, had the quote, to something to the effect of pretty much every decision that we make makes an unhappy neighbor. And so, their rationale was anybody that's unhappy with a decision that we make can now appeal our decision, take it straight to the commissioners, and you know, that is there's the concern that that's going to overwhelm them dealing with appellants to these various cases. The other thing that was concerning about the change was that these appeals processes are going to take place in de novo deliberations. Now, that essentially means that all consideration and all the public process starts fresh, free from... Now, we'll have to be a little bit careful here because this is a point of contention, but you do not necessarily need to apply public testimony from testimony that was given in the Planning Commission meetings. You don't necessarily need to consider letters that have been sent in to the Planning Commission and that sort of thing. Now, the Bonner County Commissioners say that, on the one hand, you know, hey, we still have this stuff available, and, you know, just that doesn't mean that we're not going to take that into account. And then the opposition, you know, kind of countered, you know, struck back saying, well, you're not legally obligated to either anymore. And so you can see, you know, where the tension is there.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I just wanted to back up just a moment. There's a lot of information here. The Bonner County Planning Commission really deals with requests for changes or development or new plans.
Basically land use policy.
Land use policy, yeah. In the county, not the city of Sandpoint, Dover, Ponderé. So it's...
Yeah, the
it's,
city has its own jurisdiction.
Okay,
when it comes to that.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Right.
And then this land policy... What is that?
Oh, land use is basically any kind of planning or zoning decision, to put it in the broadest sense possible, you know, that it governs all regulation over land use, which are, you know, essentially put in place to try and make sure that land decisions by property owners are taking place in a way that's, you know, environmentally friendly, not too much of a burden to neighboring properties, and you know, takes place within the comprehensive plans laid down by the city or the county. And so good, you know, of course, when different agendas come into play, you certainly get many conflicts that arise. For instance, a pretty well-publicized one that is ongoing right now is the case between the Alpine Cedar sawmill and the neighboring residences. The residents say that the sawmill activities, especially the ones that have been enacted since they've put an expansion of hours into place, are, you know, hurting their quality of life, lowering their property values, and all this. Whereas the sawmill is saying, no, you know, we're being respectful of the neighbors. We are just, you know, we're, you know, just trying to keep ourselves in business, and this is what we have to do to keep up with the competition. And so, you know, that's a very tricky line to walk. Who do you kind of throw in favor of in those situations?
Well, wouldn't the land policy statement or the statutes and regulations kind of dictate that? Or are they not that clear and every case has exemptions to the plan or possibility?
That's where the Planning Commission comes into play.
Right.
People are seeking exemptions from the restrictions that might be imposed on them by the land use code.
And there are any number of complications that come into play here. You know, businesses get conditional use permits, and homeowners get all kinds of exemptions and things like that. And so yeah, there are a lot of different factors that come into play, and it's the Planning Commission's job to interpret all of the influencing factors at play within the context of Bonner County Code. So, yeah, it's a tough job.
And there's a lot of gray areas, and there's a lot of the bigger overarching question here is that of private property rights. If
right.
you own a piece of property, how much right do you have to use it as however you wish? And of course, your rights to use your property as you wish kind of butt up against the neighboring properties that that may be impacted by the way you're using your property.
Right, right. And, you know, of course, all shades of political thinking come into play here, too. You know, do you have the God-given right to do with your property what you want? You know, or is it, you know, up to the government to say, no, you need to stop that. That's bad for everybody. And so you can see how this becomes a very fraught process in many ways.
Mm-hmm. So to walk back through the sequence of events, you mentioned that Dan Carlson, the assistant planner, and Claire Marley, the planning director, have both left, I believe were discharged.
Yes, yeah.
From the planning department as professional staff. Also, on February 23rd, the Planning Commission Chair, Steve Temple, he resigned from
yes.
the Planning Commission.
And so that gets into the problems or the conflict of procedure that I hinted at earlier. Now, Steve Temple was the chairman of the Planning Commission. Planning Commission, by the way, just to be clear, is an appointed position. It's a volunteer position.
Some paid.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, you have to keep that in mind when, you know, you're considering all the events that have taken place. What happened essentially was when this came down from the commissioner's office, this request to change the appeals process. The Planning Commission had, it started in December when they were first taking a look at this. And they had many concerns about it. And so twice they remanded the issue back to staff for revisions. They were asking them to change some of these problems that they were seeing in the changes. And specifically, they were having problems with the de novo consideration. They were also really concerned that because their job is specifically oriented around planning decisions, whereas Bonner County commissioners have a plethora of responsibilities, they were concerned that by kind of giving the opportunity to circumvent their expertise, it would result in malformed land use decisions, which could ultimately make the county vulnerable to lawsuits and things like that. And so those were the concerns that they expressed in essentially pushing the appeals changes back to staff and to hopefully find a solution to those problems. That apparently did not really sit well with the Board of Commissioners, the Bonner County Board of Commissioners, and they ended up essentially scheduling their own meeting, own public hearing, to say, well, listen, we don't want to wait for a recommendation from the Planning Commission. We want to get this done. And so they scheduled their meeting, and that raised a lot of eyebrows over at the Planning Commission because they cited an element of Bonner County Code that said that, you know, the Bonner County Board of Commissioners can't schedule a hearing or publish the date of a hearing until they have a recommendation from the Planning Commission. You know, the Planning Commission struck back and, you know, said that, well, that code was in violation of all sorts of other, you know, sorts of codes in state and county law. And so there was quite the infight with letters going from the Planning Commission and then attorneys back to the Planning Commission. And ultimately, Steve Temple resigned, saying that, you know, he wasn't interested in volunteering his time to a body that he felt the commissioners no longer valued, the Bonner County commissioners. So it that was yet another area of these changes that kind of disturbed many residents in Bonner County, was they felt that the Bonner County commissioners were sort of steamrolling this through. And they have, of course, objected to that characterization at the meeting where they passed these changes.
That's a lot of information.
It is a lot of information. Like I said, it's you know, a story that's been developing for quite a while. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of decisions and developments have occurred in that time.
I want to remind our listeners that this is the KRFY Morning Show at 88.5 with host Chris and Susie, and our guest today is Cameron Rasmussen. He's editor of the Sandpoint Reader. And the topic today is the County Planning and Zoning Department and what's been going on there. Cameron, you've been kind of going through the chronological account of what's transpired at the county with the Planning Department. And, you know, we've lost a couple of the staff, and we've lost, as well, the Planning Commission chair has resigned. What is there a new Planning Commission chair? Do you have any insights into how the department and the planning process is proceeding right now over at the county?
Well, you know, to my knowledge, things are still in a bit of a flux over there. I do know, for instance, that they're still seeking a new planning director to take over leadership of the department. Advertisements that they publish for the position, you can kind of see the change that they're trying to enact over there. They, you know, specifically have advertised for a planning director that is accustomed to working within the framework of small, limited government and very streamlined processes. And so, you know, you can definitely see there the effort that they're putting forward to really minimize the role that Bonner County plays in, you know, land use decisions, I suppose, or just at least minimizing the length of time and the effort that residents have to go through to, you know, file these appeals or get these decisions on the books quickly.
Or just to get permits to certain sorts of activities on their own property.
Right.
And that is, I would think, the genesis of the whole debate here is, again, coming back to private property rights. And I think a lot of people that are building on their property, they feel like it's an onerous process to have to get these permits and get a series of approvals to do things.
Yes, yeah. I think that probably that sounds great to a lot of homeowners in the county. On the other hand, you've got organizations like the Panhandle Health District saying, well, now we have no ability to know if somebody's, you know, building on top of their septic system, for instance, and that can just be a big disaster, especially on some of these lakefront properties. Where, you know, you have a problem going on with your septic system and it gets into the lake water, that's a problem for everybody.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah. There are environmental considerations that do impact the rest of the public. Mm-hmm. And actually this debate goes way back even much further than we've been discussing. I believe in about 1995, the county commissioners at that time had a problem with the building department. They actually eliminated the building department.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
And interestingly enough, right about that time, we were building our house. That's the first house we ever built. And I have to say, there weren't many permits to go through. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done anything since then. I don't know what the process is from a landowner's point of view at this time. But I do know that that's a common complaint that the commissioners have to deal with. The county commissioners, as well as probably the planning commissioners, I'm sure, is people that want to do things with their property. and have find restrictions placed on what they can do.
Right. You know, and that's another kind of development in the situation that I glossed over, because there have been a lot of, you know, planning changes that have come through lately. But that's also the Bonner County Board of Commissioners did remove some of the regulation on building permits. And so that's where the, for instance, the concerns from the Panhandle Health District stem from. So it's yet another change that kind of made that easier for, you know, property owners, but also raised concerns from other individuals in the area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
One of the questions you may have come across the answer, Cameron, in your research on this subject, the Bonner County Commissioners are elected.
Yes.
Officials. Are they the ones that really know all the codes and statutes and have really educated themselves to understand the importance and the decision-making on these issues? Or is it the commission that the commission is appointed and it's a volunteer group?
Right.
Do they have more information? Are they more educated on these considerations?
Well, you know, that's that is one of the aspects where a lot of the worries really stem from. And, you know, this issue has built up to become a significant public concern, to the point where you had something like 40 plus people showing up at the commissioners meeting where they passed the appeals changes to, you know, kind of see where things were going. And, you know, dozens of people spoke out against these changes. The fact of the matter is that the Bonner County Commissioners are elected officials, and they do have a fairly high, you know, degree of turnover. Now, they do, of course, have legal counsel, although it has been lessened now, to some degree, the authority of the Planning Commission, they still are there to, you know, give advice and recommendations. But that is, from my talks with Planning Commission members, that's kind of the idea of the Planning Commission, is to have them in place specifically focused on land use decisions. And they typically stick around quite a bit longer than your average Bonner County Commissioner and develop, you know, a significant level of expertise on the on this particular subject.
They can develop expertise. They are, however, volunteers. And so level of engagement, go to your question, Susie, that level of engagement that a volunteer planning commissioner might have depends on their personal interests and their time and how much they want to put into it.
Yeah.
The individuals that have to have that concrete on the ground knowledge of the planning code and how it's executed are the county staff.
Right. Specifically the planning director and his or her staff.
Yeah.
I haven't looked into this lately, but I'm as far as I'm aware, they still don't have a planning director hired. So, yeah, you know, and I'm not sure if they're any closer to having one hired.
Yeah, it's a process. Usually,
so now that part, the hired staff is short right now by two people.
Yeah.
We don't know. I want to throw out to our listeners, we are going to be talking with Commissioner Todd Sudik on Thursday. We're going to have an opportunity to really drill down on these types of details.
Right. And yeah, of course, he'll be able to speak with more expertise on the current state of the planning department than I can, because as I said, I haven't, investigated any updates into this for at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So
I also want to throw out that, as we always do, we accept questions from our listeners to ask our guests. If you have a question you'd like to see Commissioner Sudik address on the air on our Thursday, that's our Thursday morning show this week, you can call our number 265-2992. just give us your question there, or go to our website, krfy.org, and send us a question through our website. There's an email link there. With that, we're going to take a little break here. I think we need to have a song to refresh us here, Susie.
All righty. This sounds good to me. This is the number one song on this day in 1967. It's a Beatles song, and it's called Penny Lane. So here you go. We'll be right back with more with Cameron Rasmussen talking about planning and zoning commission commissioners of the county. And that was Penny Lane by the Beatles, the number one song on this day in 1967. And Cameron, I know you weren't around, but I know you think it's a great song.
Well, so, what can you say?
What can you say? And we're here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. We are live with the morning show. Chris and Susie are your hosts. And our guest today is Cameron Rasmussen. He's the editor of the Sandpoint Reader. And we're talking about the situation, the changes at the Planning Commission and the Bonner County Commissioner's decisions on those changes and kind of where we're going with that.
Cameron, you actually have to leave in just a couple minutes here. But for a little bit more on this topic, there is some litigation that's outstanding right now. One of the that's kind of related to this whole brouhaha, if you will. And one of them is that Jeremy Graham, he's actually the former Sandpoint planning director himself. He's filed a tort claim against the county alleging damages due to a decision that was made concerning the Alpine Cedar Sawmill. And are any of the former staff, is Dan Carlson also pursuing any kind of litigation? Do you know, has litigation arose out of this series of...
I know that Dan Carlson has litigation underway, or at least he had since I had been, you know, looking into this. Claire Marley, now that I, you know, really think about it, I'm trying to recall whether she has any... court cases or court filings in motion, but certainly Dan Carlson does.
Those things, of course, I don't know. We can't get into any real discussion on those because they're going to be played out in court.
Right. The only things that are really available are the public documents that have come forward, and so for instance, you can go see Dan Carlson's. Essentially a petition of grievance, and that's, something like a 30 or a 40 page document outlining, his testimony of events that led up to his termination, and that sort of thing.
Yep.
Jeremy Grimm, to get into that, Jeremy Grimm has filed a tort claim, to the tune of an estimated $100,000 in damages. That is related to the Alpine Cedar Mill controversy or conflict, however you want to say it. Jeremy is a homeowner in that area, and he's been, a very vocal person on the side of the homeowners who are, saying that the sawmill is violating. A conditional use permit is decreasing quality of life for residents in the area, lowering home values and things like that. So what his tort claim alleges is that in email exchanges subsequent to his offering public comment in these public hearings, he was emailing Deputy Prosecuting Attorney Scott Bauer, for instance, and saying according to his tort claim, saying that he was dissatisfied with the way commissioners were handling this, and that essentially got back to the commissioners, who then came back and took all these emails to Jeremy Grimm's employer, Cochava, who then reduced his work responsibilities, basically because the commissioners were alleging that he was behaving in an unprofessional manner. So now
and he was not representing Cochava.
Jeremy Grimm maintains that he's been just as a private citizen this entire time, and that, you know, he sees this as, you know, the commissioner's trying to bully him, and so he's alleging all sorts of damages due to lost income, lost, you know, damage to reputation, and the like. So
that's kind of a side controversy in the larger controversy.
And it's going to, once again, play out in court, but that brings to mind...
We'll see if it develops into a full lawsuit. Sometimes these are settled out of court.
But that brings to mind the fact that with this change in the Planning Commission and the process for appeals and things like that, it could create more litigation that the commissioners and the county will have to... I mean, I'm not sure, but that kind of was what came to my mind, is people may be unhappy enough to take things to court.
Well, that's certainly a big concern that a lot of people have. And just as an aside to the previous subject, I think it's important to point out that Jeremy Grimm is the former planning director of the city of Sandpoint.
Yes.
And so that's another shade to that whole story.
Yeah.
But to get back to your point, Susie, yes, that's a big concern that people have. Even more so because of the people that I've talked to, insurance that most, you know, local governments are covered for usually don't include land use decisions. And so some of the most costly decisions to taxpayers have been court decisions against public, municipalities and counties and whatnot, saying that they violated the law in one of their land use decisions, and that, you know, the taxpayers are going to have to foot the bill. In fact, that's something that really hit Boise taxpayers very hard in a decision that they made some years back.
Is that why they even had this two-part appeal process that stayed with the Planning Commission kind of double-check
I think that's,
appeals?
I think that's part of it. I think it's also that process was in place to help, you know, delineate the responsibility between the Board of Commissioners and the Planning Commission to make Planning Commission decisions a somewhat weightier thing, because you did have to, you know, prior to this, have quite a good case to appeal your claim. So, if you look at it from the perspective of a property owner who's, you know, wanting to, you know, get an appeal handled quickly, then you're probably pretty happy. On the other hand, if you're, somebody that's suffering from that property owner's project or decision, then, you know, that's... You're probably on the other side of the question.
So I'm going to ask you one more question on this, and then we got just a couple minutes to ask you about another issue. But so we're going to have Commissioner Todd Sudik in here on Thursday to talk about this. You got a question for Commissioner Sudik? What would be a good question from you, Cameron, for Commissioner Sudik concerning this that would go to the heart of the matter?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing that I would want to ask the Board of Commissioners is just, you know, based on the level of public interest that this generated, we had a pretty large turnout for that Board of Commissioners meeting where they passed this appeals process change. We had... Oh, I forget what it was. It felt like probably maybe an hour and some minutes of public comment, followed by, you know, a very, very terse sort of deliberation from the Board of Commissioners and a very quick passage of the appeals process. And so I guess the question that I would ask in that interview is, you know, did you have your mind made up when you walked in the door? Or, you know, were you willing to take those public comments into account in your decision making. I think that's a pretty good one.
Well, okay. We'll do our best to ask that question for you.
All right.
And one more question before we, because you're taking off because you have another meeting.
Yeah.
And actually, this is a meeting that goes back to planning and decisions as well. And it's concerning the Clagstone Meadows development, which is in the southern part of Bonner County. The Bonner County Commission has been accused of violating open meeting law over the decision making. It's a very complicated subject, actually. And the Idaho Statesman just had a story, I think, yesterday.
Right. On this. And, yeah. So to kind of at least sum up the issue in the 2 minutes that I have here. And for those who want to read more about it, of course, we'll be publishing something in the Reader this Thursday. You can also take a look at an article published yesterday by the Idaho Statesman. That's a very thorough overview of the various factors at play here. The Bonner County Daily Bee published something this morning. So there's another source that you can take a look at. Essentially, it involves a deal that's been ongoing between the Stimson Lumber Company and the Idaho state government that involves a federal forestry program. It essentially is going to make a conservation easement in this property that, you know, they own. But, you know, there have since been local and state politicians that have come out against this, largely because they feel that since this is a federal program that's going to be paying for that, taxpayer dollars are in the mix. They don't feel that taxpayers have had sufficient input. And that includes people like, you know, Representative Heather Scott and two out of the three Bonner County commissioners published a letter opposing the decision as well, exempting Kerry Kelly, who didn't sign the letter. But the concern that was brought up in the Idaho Statesman article is, well, that announcing that sort of opposition was a violation of open meeting law. And so we're going to see if that violation is resolved here in this meeting that's going to start in 10 minutes.
Ten minutes.
I better get myself over
so
there.
So with that, yeah. Cameron, we just say thank you so much for coming in letting, you know, bringing us information, getting us up to speed so that when we have Todd in here on Thursday, Todd Sudik, our commissioner, we have some more information we can ask questions about.
Well, hopefully I was a help. And thanks again for having me. Yeah. It's always fun to be on the radio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, anytime.
Thanks, Cameron. All
right,
and we're
you.
Going to take a little musical break for a moment. This is Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. It was the number one song on this day in 1968. We'll be right back with a little bit more of the morning show.
Yep, we'll be talking about what's coming up this week. Also, if we have a chance, we'll run through some of the candidates that are going to be on the ballot in our primary election.
That would be great, yep. Because we're going to be front and central with that one. So here is Otis Redding, The Dock of the Bay. And that was Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. That was the number one song in 1968. And we're here in the studios of KRFY. This is the morning show. This is at 88.5. And we're here with Chris and Susie. We just had Cameron Rasmussen in to talk about all kinds of things going on at the commissioner's office. And we just got enlightened a little bit. We also will have Todd Sudik on Thursday. He's our county commissioner to continue the conversation and find out more. What else, Chris?
Well, Susie, of course, there's a ton of things going on in town this week. It is Easter on Sunday, and that means that one of the kind of the big community annual events is the Easter egg hunt that the Sandpoint Lions Club puts on. That's Saturday, 10 a.m. At the Lakeview Park, and it's for kids. It's for young kids. I will say, do not be late, parents, if you're taking your kids to this, because the Easter egg hunt starts at 10. It's more like a race. It only lasts about 5 minutes because those kids are out there hunting for eggs.
It's a big deal when you're little.
It is a big deal. And it's actually, even if you don't have a kid, it's kind of fun to go watch and see these kids do the hunt. Ton of other things going on. I thought I would circle back for just a minute, though, and let's talk about the primary election that we have coming up May 17th. Tonight, of course, to repeat this, is the Democratic Caucus for the presidential election, and that's at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Anybody who did not vote in the Republican primary can vote in this primary, whether you're a Democrat or not. You have to be – it's at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. You have to be there before 6 p.m. The doors close, and then the caucus begins.
And I heard people are going to line up starting at 4.
Okay.
You know, because the doors open just a little bit before 5.
Okay. But the doors close at 6, and after that you can't get in.
They're done.
And the process begins. And circling back again to the primary election, I thought we'd run through the candidates real quick. For the Idaho State Senate, Steve Tanner is running as a Democrat, but the action is going to be on the Republican primary ticket, where Sean Keel, our incumbent state senator, is going to face Glenn Rohr. For the Idaho State Representative, seat 1A, there's an that's the seat held by Heather Scott. She's uncontested. On the Democratic side, however, there are two candidates on the ballot, Stephen Hallett and Kate McAllister. For the state representative, District 1B seat, Sage Dixon, our incumbent, is a Republican. He's uncontested. On the Democratic side, however, there are two candidates there, Bob Vicarious and Sarah Althea Brotherton. And that's it for the state and our District 1. However, on the county commissioner side, there are two commission seats that are up for election. They each have no Democratic candidates that are declared. However, they do have two Republican candidates. So this primary election is going to decide who our commissioners are. It makes the primary really like a general election for us.
And especially with the controversy that's going on right now
That's obviously going to be something that's talked about during the election.
Mm-hmm.
For District 2, incumbent Todd Sudik is going to face Jeff Connolly in the Republican primary. For District 3, that's the seat now held by Kerry Kelly. He's not running again. There are two candidates there, Dan McDonald and Louis Rich. Louis Rich actually is a former county commissioner. And then there's another contested race as well for Bonner County Sheriff. In the Republican primary, Daryl Wheeler is going to face Terry Ford. Again, no Democratic candidates there, so that is another election that will be decided in the primary.
Okay, well, we're pretty much running out of time. There's a couple more things to talk about. On the live and local show this evening at 7, my guest will be Emily Baker, local and very talented singer-songwriter, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, she's
so
great.
Tune in at 7 o'clock at 88.5 for live and local, and that will be a live show. Also, we're going to go out with a song by the Little Smokies, and the reason we're doing that is because they're going to be at the Panetta Theater live as a community radio benefit for KRFY. And this is a great song. That show is happening May 6th. You can get your tickets now at Pedro's, Evans Brothers Coffee, Eichhardt's, at KRFY here at 265-2992, and at the Panetta online at panetta.org. So this is a song by the Little Smokies. Give you a taste of what's coming up May 6th for a benefit concert for the KRFY radio. Yeah. Have a great day.
Yeah, have a great day. Remember, we'll be back on Thursday. We're talking with Commissioner Todd Sudik. If you have questions, phone them in to us or hit our website, krfy.org, and send us a question for the commissioner that way.
We'll be here on Thursday. Take care.